Well, I'm glad to be here with all of you tonight. It's good to see Brother Henry and Sister Beth here, and we have visitors, and everyone is certainly loved and welcomed here. And though we have many members who aren't here, we're still loving them and caring for them, and we want to keep them in our prayers and uplift them as best we can. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. You know what happens after that? We're going to go home. But preceding all that is the word we'll. And I think we'll, W-E apostrophe L-L, we will, is a pretty important word there. Because that implies everybody. It means that we're all going to be united. We're all going to be together doing something important. And I think that's work. If you listen to the song. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, we read from Paul, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it to our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Wow. Those are all the things that the Lord has called us to do as members of the body. There are all kinds of different things that we can do. And I don't think anybody here today is going to disagree that we live in a world that's very much divided today. That's evident, separated in many ways. And what should Christians be doing in a world like that? How about the exact opposite? How about we just do exactly the opposite? We need harmony. We need to be together. And today we want to discuss a little bit about the importance of togetherness, about unity, about we will in the body of Christ. We need one another. We need one another desperately. We need to be able to rely upon one another, call on one another, get help from one another, find that loving smile within one another. There was a philosopher, Aristotle, who said the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that phrase aptly defines the church of Christ. Synergy is a term that we might have all been accustomed to, something we've heard of before. Synergy is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of the separate parts. Just think about the synergy of the Lord's church upon the earth. What amazing things they can accomplish. Just amazing. How we can outreach to places that other people wouldn't even go to and take the gospel. And what does that mean to us, brethren? Our two are better than one is what it means, because they have a good reward for their labor. Together, we'll do the work for the Lord. You consider what Solomon said when he said that two are better than one. Better, why? Because we can produce much more for the kingdom working together. That concept of synergy means that when one person works, it's more difficult. When two people work, it's a little better. When three people do a job, it's even better yet. And it just continues to grow. We have 45 to 49 members here. Let's all work together. Imagine what wonderful and powerful things we can do. You think about that, a car without a windshield, without a steering wheel, without a motor, without tires, without a transmission, alone, these are just parts, pieces, parts. They don't do a whole lot. You have all the parts laying on the ground, it's nothing. But when you put it together, there's motion, there's power, there's something that can be useful to the user. When you put it together, they're a car. When we come together here, we're a church. An assembly, right? The ecclesia. What a powerful thing that is. Same thing's true about computers. I used to do computers myself. And I remember all buying all the individual parts and they're just laying on my bench. They do mean nothing at all. You have the hard drive, the USB ports, the video boards, the processors, and so on, and they're just parts. When you put it together, that's when it works. Sometimes. It's just a great thing to be together. There's such a theme in that, to be together, working together, being of the same mind, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. When he said, I plead with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all believe the same things. We want to be of one mind together. Together we can do amazing things. Isn't that a great thing? A family in Christ. Yeah, that's true. Brothers, sisters, we have to aspire to be a family in God. Being something united together through the blood of Christ. It gives us power through the Word of God, through the gospel. We can do all things through Him. He gives us strength, right? Together. The Apostle Paul, he went out with Barnabas, with Titus, Timothy. They went out together and they accomplished great things. We think what Paul wrote, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens together with the saints and members of the household of God. Isn't that amazing? What great power we have when we are together of the same mind. Again, we're the ecclesia, we're the called out ones. And we have many things in common through Christ, through that covenant relationship that we have in Jesus. We're not just individuals, just disconnected. When we leave this place, what's really sad for me is that when we have that attitude that, well, I'm here together with you on Sunday, but don't let me see you through the week. And I'm not saying we have that attitude, but we all have seen that. Don't call me. And I won't call you. But listen, that's not the way it is. We're not disconnected. We're much more than that. We're Christians. Together, we form the church, the congregation, the family of God. We're not like the world out there. We can't be like the world out there. That world is separate in every possible way. Every tiny little action separates people. But we can't be that way. The Lord wants us to be different, and we must realize that we cannot accomplish things alone. We need to be together. And then if the work here at Columbus Street is going to be successful and pleasing to the Lord, there could be no longer any more me's, no I's, no my's, right? We just want to scratch that. It's not about me, I, myself, but it's we. That's what it needs to be. We, us, our. You see that? That's the concept of fundamental Christian togetherness. That's what that means. Cooperation between the saints. We study together. We sing together. We worship God together. We love one another together. We do the work of the church together. We're all part of that work. Whatever that work is, as Paul talked about in Romans there, it can be anything. It can be your prophecy or your teaching or your ministry or your giving or exhortation, whatever it is. But we all do it together. We don't say, Dave's the preacher, so nobody else can preach. We don't say that. We don't say Dave's the evangelist, so we don't need to evangelize. We do it all together. Right? It's together. And that's what makes the church work. That's what makes the church powerful. We're not at odds with one another spiritually. And you can see the concepts of that family. We're one body as we think about this. Romans chapter 12. Verses 3 and 4. Beginning in 3. I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're members of one another. You know what that means? That we're attached to one another spiritually. Via the Word of God, the blood of Christ, we've been put together, being a functioning body. And that's really important. When we think about that, we're one body, many members. We all have different functions, but one part doesn't contribute. The whole is incomplete. You see, we have to work together. We may have different functions, yes. But think about all the different things that are meant. You know, the church without exhortation, without liberal giving, without leaders, without teachers, without mercy, without cheerfulness, is a dysfunctional church. We're not like that. I'm not speaking to you as though this is describing you, but there are churches like that. I know because I came from one. And it was horrible. You think of this, a car without tires. Dysfunctional. And that's what the church is when you don't have people that give and leaders and teachers and mercy and cheerfulness. Just a car without tires. Where's it at? Do you ever see something like that just sitting up there on blocks? You know, it doesn't have to be a bumper. If the car doesn't have a bumper, if it doesn't have a bumper, you're not protected. Without a key, you can't start it. But when we put all these things together, we're useful and we'll succeed. The same thing is true about a work. If we're not the church, if we're not willing to work, if we're not willing to contribute together, feeding each other, then things begin to go awry and they don't work. But thanks be to God that He's provided through the Word of God the power that we can all have the same Spirit. That same thing that we were baptized into Christ. And so now we've risen up to be brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, when you provide something, you're providing something that helps to oil the whole body. And the whole body's edified. When you give on the Lord's Day, you're providing a place for teaching and for preaching and for the saints to come and be encouraged and admonished for the edification and for the evangelism and the benevolence that the church is responsible for. When we assemble together and we sing like we did tonight, what a beautiful thing that was. The song's so beautiful. And they're encouraging. They enlarge the heart. And we love that. When you assemble together to sing and pray and to worship, to shovel snow, to carry the umbrella and guide a brother or sister in from the rain, when you're cleaning the building, you're providing a strong and uplifting environment. Doesn't matter how big the work is. It doesn't matter how small the work is. Minuscule, it doesn't matter. None of those things matter. What I'm trying to tell you is that the members of the Church of Christ, you matter. You're the one that Christ died for. You're the one that God loves and has called your child. I'm trying to say that as a member of the Church of Christ, of the congregation, you matter. And what I want you to know is that as members, when you're not here, every time we see an empty pew, remember that wonderful sermon that Brother Ken preached? You'll be missed. And I'm glad you're here tonight. Together we're useful. Together we protect each other. Together we will succeed. You know, in Acts chapter 6, if you look at that, verses 1 through 3, there are seven men chosen there by the apostles to serve tables and to deal with the widows. It's just an example of those who work together, and maybe in some small ways, they do their work. You think serving tables is a little thing? No, it's an important thing. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have put it in the Scripture for us to look at, would He? It's important. The little things are important. Remember, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And when we think about, don't underestimate any little thing that any little brother or sister does. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. And just scanning down through here, beginning in verse 26, or 26 rather. But therefore, before faith came, we were kept under the guard by law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. You are all sons of God. All sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor either male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. You're part of God's family. We're equal in every single way. Equal in every way. You know, there's none above the other. We're just one in Christ. Not one is more important than the other. There are a lot of churches today who think the preacher, they call him the pastor, is like the head of the church there. He's the boss. He, whatever he says goes. And they put him up on a pedestal. They call men by words like bishops and priests and father and pope and so on. No, we're all the same. I'm not above you, you're not below me. Spiritually. Together we aspire to be useful to one another. Together we aspire to be useful to the kingdom, and together we aspire to be useful to our King. What we can't do alone, we can do together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about one body with many members. And as he talks about that, he lets us know that we're not all an eye. He tells us we're not all ears. We're all individual members. In verse 18 there, he tells us God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleases. You see, God's hand is in the church. God's hand is controlling. He is our King and our leader. Our Master, our Lord. Everyone isn't going to have the same gifts. Everyone doesn't have the same blessings. Everyone, don't be discouraged if you're not a preacher. Don't be discouraged if you're not a teacher. Don't be discouraged if you're not even serving communion. Remember, according to verse 22 and 23 of that chapter, the lesser has more honor. So if one member suffers, in verse 26, what happens? Every member suffers. Every member. And we all know that when Paul, God in His wisdom through Paul, we're learning that, you know, the all the joints in the body, they work together. You have a bad foot, your foot hurts, so you limp a little bit and you try to mother it, and then a week later you start noticing your back's hurting. And you tell the doctor, I don't know, why is my back hurting? I had nothing wrong with my back. And the doctor says, it's your foot. Really? Or maybe your back's hurting and nothing else is hurting, and all of a sudden your knee starts hurting, and the doctor says, it's the nerve going down there. Every part's working together in this body that God has created. And so we're not all the same. And no one is more important. We all have something to offer. Remember verse 26. If any member suffers, all members suffer. If one member is honored, we're all honored. And we rejoice. Just think with me how important that is. We have such a gift from God called the church. If I hurt, somebody calls me. You know, we just had a letter read to us from a sister. She's had a lot of surgeries. I call her the bionic sister because almost every part of her body's been replaced. And she's always in constant pain. And then we hear today that some of the children were in an accident. We thank God that they weren't hurt. But you think, we have to be concerned about one another. If any member suffers, we all suffer. And it's a wonderful thing when the brethren can go out and do something about that to help, which is exactly what we do. Wonderful. And when you think about that, a family, what do they say? A family that shares together, cares together. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And that's what we do. A sister shares her children and her grandchildren's achievement and they rejoice together. What happens when many churches have something great that happens and there's no rejoicing? No, there's always something kind of rejoicing. And we try together to support one another. We don't want anybody left in the dark. You're important. That's the bottom line. You know, if you're a greeter at the door, you greet with a smile, right? That's what you want to do. That's what a greeter should do. Be cheerful. You know the people coming through that door, they're really important to this congregation. Every one of you are. If you're a server at the table, you got to have restraint. So you're not doing this, serving the Lord's Supper. You're going to do it soberly, sincerely, with honesty and restraint. Well, we had a dinner at the house Saturday. And the people that came ate, brought good food. We enjoyed it. We sang. We talked. I sat in the corner of a couch and just watched and listened. And everybody was talking and and I loved every minute of it. It was great to see everybody talking together and just you could hear one person a little bit over another and then you hear somebody else. It's like flowers growing up in the spring in your heart. It's a beautiful thing. We need that unity. We need that cooperation. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs." What? That you stand fast in one spirit, togetherness, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. You know, the war that's going on out here, it's not between the members, is it? It's between the world, the devil, and the church. Between the devil and Christ, between every member and the devil. So when you're going to put forth an effort to start a fight, start that fight against the works of the devil, not against your brethren. We need to be members of one another, striving together. When you think about it, it isn't striving together against one another. It's a fighting against that devil. The whole church fighting against that devil. We don't want to have the attitude that we're all fighting against each other. Right? We need to do all that pulling against our enemy. All together in the same struggles. Because we have one goal together, and that's to be together in eternity. When we leave this old sinful world to be together with Christ, one day to be in heaven with the Father and all the saints and all the hosts of heaven, that's our goal. And we need to be together to do that. One mind, one spirit, striving for one faith, the faith of the gospel. That's what we want to do. You know, we think of this cooperation, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. We think about what the Apostle Paul says. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we may, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we have hope. And you think about Aaron and Joshua and Hur. Remember Hur? Moses, Aaron, Hur. And they're working together. Moses and Aaron worked together to get the people out of Egypt. They worked with God, Moses and Aaron, in Exodus chapter 4, they were together. In Exodus chapter 17, you had Moses, Joshua, and Hur. And Moses, you know, he couldn't hold them hands up. And as long as those hands were down, the Amalekites, they would win the battle. And when his hands were up, the Israelites would win the battle. And when he couldn't hold them up anymore, Hur held up one side and Joshua held the other. And that was after they gave him a rock to sit on. You see, they all worked together. You know what happens when a family doesn't work together? We've seen that headache, trial, pain, separation. We need to be that family that works together. You know, look at the book of Nehemiah with me when you think about it. Nehemiah, it's one of the greatest shining examples of cooperation. Nehemiah had it in his heart to rebuild the wall. He prayed to the Lord to help him in this endeavor, but he wasn't going to be alone. He wasn't going to be alone. Brothers and sisters, think about this. Notice that the people, you know, they get nervous. The devil causes people to be nervous. But when he sees people working together, the devil gets nervous. When he sees people pulling together, all having that same function, the devil's the one that's getting nervous. He's the one that feels like he's being attacked, and so it should be. Keep in mind that our enemy is that divider. It is the devil. He wants nothing more than divide us from eternal life. He wants to divide you from God, divide you from Christ, divide us from one another, and ultimately from God. In Nehemiah chapter 2, as we look at this, in verse 17 through 20. And as we look down through here in verse 17, he says, I said to them, you see distress that we're in, that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall in Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. You see, now just think about that for a second. The people saw the problem. The wall needed to be fixed. And they didn't all run in separate directions. They said, well, come, let us build the wall so that we may no longer be a reproach. When we're working together, the whole world out there hates you, but God loves you. When we're working apart, we're a reproach to God. And look at verse 18. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken. And the king allowed them to go and do this thing, to build the wall. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this work. You see that? They rose up together. They put their hands to the work. We have work to do here. We have people in this community, Jehovah Witnesses, Catholics, and people that are unreligious, period, and they all need to hear the gospel. There's a work. Right? We have brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that need study time and they need support. Maybe they need financial support. Maybe they need a spiritual support, but we're all together to do the work. Let's rise up and put our hands to the work. And it's amazing. We have close to 50 members here this morning. But we have close to 50 members in this congregation. Can you imagine what would just, it would explode in this little area that we live in if we were all together working, if we rise up and put our hands to the work. And we need to know that the Lord in heaven, He's going to prosper us if we just rise up and build. And we need to get right to it. Get to the work of the Lord. It's not just talking. They got up and they rose and they did it. Remember what happened as you read through that book of Nehemiah. You read that they came together and they were side by side, next to so-and-so. 33 times you read that, next to. They built the doors, they built the walls, they built this, they built that. They were all next to one another, working side by side. And they just blew away their enemies. We need to be doing the Lord's work. That's what you read there in Nehemiah chapter 3. You know, it begins in the very first part. Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brother and the priests, and they built the sheep gate, and they consecrated it and hung in doors, and they built as far as the tower of the hundred and consecrated it as far as the tower. And then it says in verse 2, next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho, next to them and next to them. And verse 3, next to them, all the way down. Next to, that's we'll work, right? Till Jesus comes. That's what that means, next to Him. 18 times that actually is in there. Oh boy, what a wonderful thing it is. Making repairs, fortifying, doing the work. What a great shining example that is. And look at verse 14. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of your enemies. Don't be afraid to go out and speak about Jesus. Don't be ashamed of your identity. Don't be ashamed. I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus walked upon the earth, that He did wonderful miracles, signs and wonders, and that at the hands of the Jews through the Romans, He was crucified, dead and buried. And 3 days later, He arose from the grave to sit at the right hand of God Almighty, and by His blood, you, I, everyone can be saved. That's what I believe. Don't be ashamed. Be proud of who you are and what God has made of you. Remember what it says in verse 14, Nehemiah 4. Wow. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Fight. He will and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. What a wonderful thing to think about God. He's on our side, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? This is what God will tell us. That's what He wants us to know. With every commission, with every calling, there's always going to be doubt. But don't let the doubt overcome your understanding and your faith. Follow up with trust, follow up with obedience, follow up with faithful cooperation, and you can turn any kind of doubt that you have into a victory in Christ. Just trust in the Lord, in His might, in His power. We can turn our adversary here, the devil, we can turn him away as we work together, hand in hand, fighting against him. But we can only do it together. We can't do it separate, not one-on-one. We have to separate the world, the politics, the religion, all this talk about race and bigotry and all those things, set them aside. You find every reason to divide the church out there, but we want to look for every reason, hook, line, and sinker, to bring the church together, to build. And finally, when we move from me and from my and mine out of the way, when we move all that out of the way, we'll start to see ourselves as a whole, as a body, complete, working together, accomplishing great things. And it's all because of the precious Word of God. It's all because of the power of God. And then guess what will happen? The church, it'll include everybody. Every man, every woman, every child. Everybody plays a role. This morning we heard children running around and crying and even some singing. I thought it was singing. They may have been crying. I don't know, but it was a joy. Every one of them is useful, important, precious. We're all part of the Lord's kingdom. And whatever we do, we just need to function as a whole. We need to do it together. That synergy allows us to work together and accomplish something that alone we can't accomplish. Jesus said if you had the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be removed. All together, we could move a mountain. Think about that. So, you know, brothers and sisters, friends, working together, doing the same things, teaching the same things, that also binds us together. The more we do things together, spiritual things and even things of fellowship outside of the spiritual realm, we bind ourselves together. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. One body, one spirit, right? Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is in all and above you all and through you all. It's all together. And you know what? It all starts by obeying the gospel of Christ. And so the question is, do you believe? Do you believe the gospel? John 8 and 24 says that unless you believe, you'll perish. And so we need to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to believe hook, line, and sinker every word in this book. And having believed, we need to repent of our sin, Luke 13 and 3, confessing our sin with our mouth and repenting of the sins of our life, turning away from those sins, turning our backs on sin, and then looking forward. Seeing Jesus, the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, confessing with our mouth before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins and to be added to the church. If you haven't done that, today's the day to do that. And if you haven't been in unity with Christ, if there's some kind of sin in your life, that needs to be handled right away. You don't want to wait for tomorrow. We want to do it now as we stand and as we sing.